Hare Krishna. So Arjuna is confused. He has to be, or else how will Krishna speak Bhagavad Gita for us? So Arjuna is confused. Now he's asking a question. First question in the fifth chapter. That which is better, renunciation or work in devotion? O Krishna, first you say that renunciation is good. Then immediately after that, you instruct to work. So which one is better? In fact, I'm finding this to be like you're saying, "Oh Arjun, stand," and simultaneously move. So how is that possible? So this is the question that Arjun has posted. And now, from verse number 2 onwards, Krishna is going to answer. All glories to Arjun, who is asking these questions. And by his questions, we are getting the answers from the lotus mouth of Lord Sri Krishna. And we'll be benefiting ourselves, our life, will enrich by hearing these instructions. So let's see, shloka number 2. The first verse in answer to the question that Arjuna has posted. Shri Bhagavan uvacha Sanyasaha karma yogascha Nishreyasa karaubhau Tayostu karma sanyasat karma yoga vishishyate. So here, Lord is saying, Shri Bhagavan uvacha, that is Lord Shri Krishna is speaking, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is he saying? He's saying that sannyasaha karma yogascha sannyas. So sannyas we understand, that is giving up work. Sannyas karma yoga. So here karma yoga is basically working in devotion. And then what is he saying? Nishreyasa karau ubhav. Ubhav, both of them, they are what? They are very much good for liberation. They're very much good for liberation. And tayostu karma sannyasat. But out of the two, out of which two? Sannyas and karma. Out of the two, karma yoga vishishyate. Karma, devotional service, is better. This is what is the verdict given by Lord Sri Krishna. So now, one thing we have to understand, what sannyas or which sannyas are we talking about? So basically here we see that the sannyas that we are talking about is karma sannyas. So karma sannyas is basically taken by those jnanis who feel now there is no need of doing any work. Now I'm not talking about corporate work. Whenever the word karma comes, we should understand that karma basically means the work that is prescribed in the shastra. That is called karma. Not our day-to-day activities that we are doing or whatever. So, whatever is prescribed in the Shastra, like for example, the sacrifices which are there, the fire sacrifices, or the deity worship, charity, all these, various prescribed duties which are there for varnas and ashramas, we're talking about that whenever we say karma. So, what these people do is just give up that work, saying, all this I need not do. So the Krishna is saying here that such a thing, much better than such a thing is to work. To follow the prescribed duties. So let's see what we have in the purports. As long as one is engaged in activities aimed at improving the standard of bodily comfort, one is sure to transmigrate to different types of bodies, thereby continuing material bondage perpetually. So here it's very clear that till the point we are just taking care of this body, we'll not be able to progress. We'll not be able to progress in spiritual life. If we will not progress in the spiritual life, what does that mean? We have to take another birth. Because each and every activity that we are doing in our life, they are actually creating next body in next life. Now, the body is getting created by our activities. So, if we just keep focusing on this body and just make sure that we are comfortable, we are enjoying, do sense gratification, then we need best luck because the next body is getting created. So it's very important for a human being who has some brain substance to do devotional service, to start marching towards the ultimate goal. That's what is spoken here. Or else, we will keep transmigrating from one body to another, and we'll be caught up in this material world, material bondage. Although this body is temporary, it is always giving one trouble in many ways. Now, I don't think I need to explain this. we have this body, it's temporary, everyone has seen. So person finally takes birth and finally dies. That's what is given. So it's very nicely said. Our life starts with B, that is birth, and it ends with D, that is death. In between we have a C, that is choice. So that the choice that we have, what are we supposed to do in our life, that is very, very important. If I'm choosing to do sense gratification, I'm stuck. But if I choose to do devotional service, I'm liberated. So that's what is given here. Between this B and D, there are choices. But then, one thing is very clear, that when we choose the sense gratification, more and more problems are visibly seen and visibly experienced. One is considered to be a failure in life as long as he makes no inquiry about his real identity. What is the point of human form if this real inquiry is only not made? Like for example, a student, he goes to the teacher and then he's asking all sorts of questions to her. But then he's not asking the real doubt that he had in his mind. All sorts of questions regarding her personal life. But what is the use of knowing her personal life or knowing how to do better sense gratification? Important is to understand who am I. That is a real identity. If one does not understand this, one does not understand the goal of life, everything is a failure. Now just imagine the person is very well to do, having all possessions in life and so many degrees on the nameplate and all aristocratic relatives are there. Everything is nice. But then he is not inquiring about his real identity. So what does that mean? All that are just zero. 1, 0, 2, 3, 4. All zeros are there. But there is no one anywhere. So what is the value of these zeros? Zero. Only when we add a one to it, then all the zeros will get value. Similarly, when we find out who am I, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is my relationship with Him, then that one gets added in the equation. As long as he does not know his real identity, what will happen? He has to work for fruitive results for sense gratification. Because he does not know who he is. So he will do something in illusion. Keeps doing and doing and doing. And what that activities will give rise to? Reactions. Fruitive reactions. And as long as one is engrossed in the consciousness of sense gratification, one has to transmigrate from one body to another. Simple. We are in material consciousness. Best luck. We have to take another body. And that is material body. The mind may be engrossed in fruitive activities. Now someone might have a question. Come on, what are you saying? Full day I'm just thinking about material things. So what is the solution for it? Here is the solution. So here it's given that the mind may be engrossed in fruitive activities, the daily material activities, and influenced by ignorance. One must develop a love for devotional service to Vasudeva. Only then can one have opportunity to get out of the bondage of material existence. So here it is very clearly given that in our life, whatever we are doing, that's okay. But along with that, we have to include devotional service, which will help us to develop bhakti. And bhakti is basically devotional service or love for Krishna. And when that develops, then everything else will fall in place. But the question is, are we doing devotional service every single day or not? This is the question. Jnana is not sufficient for liberation. So whenever we say jnana, we are basically talking about the knowledge that we are not the body, we are spirit soul. So that itself is not enough, for getting liberation. So what is one supposed to do? One has to act in status of spirit soul, otherwise there is no escape from material bondage. So, see, we understood that we are spirit soul. But then, if we don't act on that platform, saying, I am spirit soul, and what am I supposed to do? I am supposed to serve Krishna. If that is not happening, then what is the use of that knowledge that I am spirit soul? So, that is what is spoken here. So, one cannot escape from material bondage, because he is not doing the service that he is supposed to do. Action in Krishna consciousness. So, what is action in Krishna consciousness? Serving Supreme Personality of Godhead. Performed in full knowledge strengthens one's advancement in real knowledge. Without Krishna consciousness, mere renunciation of fruitive activities does not actually purify the heart of a conditioned soul. See, finally we have to purify our heart. And when we start serving Krishna, this purification of the heart will automatically happen without our notice. Without our notice, automatically the purification of the heart is happening. But here, the focus is not purification of the heart. Focus is service of Krishna. Serving Krishna with love and devotion, but automatically this is happening. Action in Krishna consciousness automatically helps one escape the result of fruitive action so that one need not descend to material platform. Therefore, action in Krishna consciousness is always superior to renunciation, which always entails a risk of falling. See, when someone takes karma sannyas, thinking that he is purified, it might happen. Now, in the current world, there is so much of allurement that is there. And since we are Baddha Jivas, we are bound in the cycle of birth and death, there is a great possibility again we might get some material desires. And what will the person do? Now he has given up all the actions, all the prescribed duties. And now, you know, he is allured by some material thing. So what is he supposed to do now? It's very difficult. So it is recommended, just practice Krishna consciousness. Just practice bhakti, chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Everything else will fall in place. And what will fall in place? That is purification of heart. Once that happens, everything else, you know, will be taken care. And what is renunciation? Renunciation is complete when it is in knowledge that everything in existence belongs to the Lord and that no one should claim proprietorship over anything. One should understand that factually nothing belongs to anyone. Then where is the question of renunciation? So what belongs to us in this world? When we die, we leave everything here and, you know, just go to another body. So we don't own anything in this world. So who owns everything? Krishna. He is the proprietor of everything that is there in this world. He is the proprietor. He is the real owner. So what is our duty? What are we supposed to do? Here it is given. Since everything belongs to Krishna, everything should be employed in the service of Krishna. This is the point. This is the essence of full Krishna consciousness. Everything belongs to Krishna. Just offer that back to Krishna in devotion. And when it is offered with love and devotion, Krishna accepts. And then our service, you know, gets the best result because Krishna is satisfied. That is what we need. And finally, this perfect form of action, Krishna consciousness, is far better than any amount of artificial renunciation by a sannyasi of Mayavadi school. So what is the use of artificial renunciation? One or the other day the person will fall down, you know, from that position. So it's better to practice Krishna consciousness, do bhakti for giving pleasure to Krishna, eventually get purified and go back home back to Godhead, than taking any risk of doing artificial renunciation. So now Krishna is going to speak in the same theme. He's going to continue and he's going to give more points on how karma yoga or devotional service is better than that of renunciation. So let's see in the next video. Hare Krishna.